Well, next, you are going to hear some original writing, two essays as well as a poem. We've collaborated for a long time with the Scholastic Awards Program, which is overseen by Point Park University here in southwestern Pennsylvania. And we have three writers with us today who are going to share work. I'd ask you please to begin by introducing yourself, perhaps indicate, well, in the case, two of you have just graduated from high school. And perhaps you can talk about what your plans are for the fall. And we'll start with you, Rose.
My name is Rose Highfield, and I just graduated from Carlington Junior Senior High School, and I'll be going to Savannah College of Art and Design in Savannah, Georgia, for fashion design and fashion marketing.
That's wonderful to hear.
My name is Samitha Ganason, and I just graduated from North Allegheny Senior High School, and I'll be attending Penn State in the fall to study finance.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, my name is Layla Niggle. I'll be going into 10th grade next year at Fox Chapel Area High School. Is there anything else I need to say?
Do you have any sense of what you might do after high school?
No, I mean, I guess I sort of do. I mean, it's kind of all up in the air. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, it's early to be thinking about that. I'm curious for all of you why writing matters. You all have busy lives, yet you've taken a lot of care in your writing. You've submitted your writing competitively. It's been honored. So the notion of the importance of writing is something I think each of you has a viewpoint on. Any thoughts about that?
I think it's a great platform to create writing to execute what you really care about and communicate what you think and your values. And you get to find other people in the same realm of if they agree or if they don't agree with what you're writing about. And you get to also do research writing where you get to take other pieces of work and add on to it. And it also creates a place to be more creative. Maybe you don't like going out and talking about what you think, and writing creates a place where you can escape and put what you really want to communicate to the world.
That's Samita. Any other thoughts, Rose or Layla?
Yeah, I do. I mean, writing and like art in general is important to me because, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of different pieces of media that I have enjoyed in the past, but writing my own stories and making my own art allows me to, like, I mean, obviously, I'm taking inspiration from everything else. That's the part that's inherent about being creative, but it allows me to put something into the world and maybe not even put it into the world, maybe just keep it to myself, but have these things and tell a story like I personally really want to, and there's never going to be anything else like that.
That's a very good way of expressing it. You end up almost exclusively using your own thoughts and your own reactions to the world that you have access to, and it's yours. It can be nobody else's if I get it correctly.
Because it's my experiences, it's the maybe the tropes that I like, or I don't know certain tropes. Dang it, I forget the word. But overall, just blending of everything to create something that is, in essence, unique.
Yeah, a lot of times, not just these days, but really in all time, we're either encouraged or somehow think we should be adopting other people's thoughts or thoughts that conform. So it's great to be able to do that. What about thoughts from you, Rose?
I completely agree. I think there's so many types of forms of writing in general, and I think that you can get creative with it, and it's definitely a different type of art form, and I think that it doesn't necessarily have to be public. There's so many writers and poets in the past that have written just purely out of passion instead of wanting to fully publish it to the public. So I think that it can be something that you publish to spread awareness for something, or talk about it with, you know, people that you're close with, or keep it to yourself. It's something that you can fully, you know, express in different types of way.
Anything else any of you would like to add? You've done a great job, Smita.
I think, like, overall, it's just a place to create something meaningful. Like, at the end of the day, like, what you write about is what you think. And getting your thoughts out is obviously very important. And, like, whether it's personal or your views, like, writing about it sometimes helps you process things, too. I mean, I love to write and read. And when I write, I get to kind of lay out. It's like a map of what your thoughts are, and scoping through it, because as you are younger, like, your views change as you get older, and looking back at your writing from the past to what you write now, you get to think how your views have changed throughout your life, I guess.
Very wise. Well, Layla, Samita, Rose, you all had a lot to offer to kind of ground us in what you're about to be sharing, and you're going to hear an essay from Rose, and then we have a poem from Layla, and another essay from Samita, if that is still good for everybody. So, Rose, is there anything you'd like to tell us about your piece before you share it?
So the piece that I made, I wrote it for my college essay, and then I submitted it to the Scholastic Writing Awards. And I wrote it based on compassion and feeling emotions authentically and just overcoming hardship and trauma and feeling all of the feelings that go through, you know, your head and what you feel during any sort of recovery or time of distress. And so I think that it's really important to feel authentically and to feel for others and feel for yourself, and not to try to mask those emotions and mask what has happened to you in the past or what has happened to other people. And I think it's important to really speak on all different topics of hardship in general.
Well, whenever you're ready, the stage is yours.
Thank you. So my essay is called Grief Through Growth. And like I said, it's about just grief in general and hardship that you have overcome. And So it begins, I've learned that grief isn't just for death. It's for the loss of someone who's still alive or who they used to be. I grieve the emotional connection that I had with my dad while he was drinking. This truth is hard to admit. It doesn't mean I want him to relapse. It means I miss what we had, even if it came with pain. In the changing stages of recovery, someone entirely new can be revealed, and that's completely out of one's control. My dad is sober now, and that's something that I'm very proud of. I am proud, very proud. But I still also miss my old dad, the goofy, loud, emotionally present version I grew up with, even when he was drinking. His loving personality and acts of service made me feel reassured, even in unstable moments. When he was drinking and it became excessive, I tried overlooking it. I felt in my trauma, like the loss of my brother and my grandpa. I blamed it on the stress he endured because of my severe disorder for eating disorder, and it came with frequent hospitalizations, and wondering about it didn't make his addiction less painful or his personality less abrupt. I had to stop blaming myself and obsessing. Instead, I began to understand the main root of my disorder, the desire for perfection and control in this world. I wanted to be livid and to blame him for his depression, living in denial and disappearing emotionally when I feel like I needed him most. But I've learned to not sit in resentment. But instead, I offer him credit. He chose sobriety for his family and for his health, even whenever it torments him. Forgiveness and learning to seek new depths of strength is a part of recovery. That being said, recovery isn't linear. The temptation is unbearable. I possess a deeper understanding of that feeling more than most 17-year-olds. In my own recovery, I'm still dealing with squealing voices when my meals increase or when my dimpled cheeks become fully visible. The consequences of my disorder have shown weakened bones and slow heart. But nonetheless, I understand that letting the eating disorder take me backward is pointless in seeing my vitality resurface. I've come so far, and it takes time to resist. So that's why I feel for my dad and aspire to see him adapt to a life without unhealthy distractions as I have. So accepting my trauma and feelings enabled me to recognize that I can still love someone deeply and still need more than they're capable of giving. I can accept my dad for where he is and still feel a little disappointed. That's okay. It's okay to feel and express those emotions authentically. I've learned how to hold space for both realities without guilt. Likewise, grieving has allowed me to release the pressure I used to carry, the belief that it was my job to fix everything around me to keep the peace. That weight is no longer mine to bear, and his healing isn't mine to control. I now know setting boundaries creates emotional freedom. It's like an act of love and self-love in itself. By letting go of perfection and facing reality, I also let go of my illness. Therefore, my journey has fueled my compassion and deep understanding for individuals and their struggles. Yet, my boundaries and acceptance have freed time for my biggest passions, like giving back to my community, improving leadership and communication skills, nurturing my creative and innovative abilities as well. People aren't defined by their hardships, but rather it can represent who they can become in the future. Pain doesn't always have a silver lining, but it can leave behind something meaningful, a deeper understanding of yourself, and a stronger capability to feel for others. So this experience hasn't just changed how I see my dad, but it's also changed how I see people, how I communicate my feelings, and how I'll support myself and the world around me as well.
Wow, that was amazing, Rose, and courageous, frankly, to share. Samina, Layla, do you have any comments you want to share? I don't want to put you on the spot. I just want to give you room if you had any reaction to Rose's writing.
I feel like that it really revealed her real self. I mean, obviously that's the point of your college essay, but I feel like you really got to know her character and how it grew throughout the piece, and it showed like the beginning of doubt, but then how she had like this growth mindset and like how she had this like future outlook of something better on the other side. And I really liked that like effect of it just growing in that way. And that was like one thing that I really noticed part of her essay.
I guess I liked how it portrayed, and I mean, obviously it's gonna be not black and white because it's about real events, and real events aren't black and white, but I really liked how it showed, like, the complexities of real relationships and how you can carry, like, seemingly contradictory feelings towards one person, but it can still make sense to you.
That's a really good observation. People aren't entirely one way or another way, and your feelings towards individual people and yourself aren't unilateral. That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing it. If you're just joining us, these writers have at least one thing in common. They were all honored by the Scholastic Writing Awards program. And next, we have a poem that we're going to hear from Layla. Layla, is there anything you need to say ahead of time?
I mean, I don't feel like I need to say much really. Sometimes I mean, it is very much like, well, I don't know the difference. It's for, I guess that you, I was going to say metaphor, but it's more symbolism. It's one big symbol that is, in my opinion, about as subtle as a brick to the face. And so I think I'm definitely, you know, I can say whatever after, but it's, I guess one thing that is important to say is this is based around an original character that I've made up. A lot of the stuff that I write is because I have this large collection of them and I'm very passionate about them. And so I've just, anything I write, even if it is a poem, which I find it hard to call myself a poet because this is the only one I've written in years, but yeah, they just sort of leak into everything I write, no matter the genre. All right. So should I just, okay. An unwanted gift with no room in her home left to keep it, but it had to remain, accepted with a strained smile, watered only by rain, viewed only with disgust as it rotted. It was never very vibrant, but how could it be? It grew in spite of her, standing as proudly as it could bear to, grasping on to a life half lived. It could never please her. It had always been ugly, she said, always unruly. There was nothing that could be done. Time was better spent on the blooms that looked to remain pure. Within arm's reach, but with eyes averted, it persisted, nothing more. And so did the rot, advancing, all-consuming. It was eaten alive, while her shutters remained drawn. It dropped, as scarlet petals scattered, and she returned it to the ground, with no room in her heart left to keep it.
Hmm. That was incredible. Does anyone have any thoughts they'd like to share about what Layla just shared? I like what you said at the beginning about your collection of characters. I remember from one of your earlier visits, yeah. You've got lots and lots of work that you've written.
Definitely. I mean, written is a bit of an overestimation. It's mostly just in my head, scattered across sketchbooks and whatnot. But yeah.
Do you feel like the poem you just shared, is it almost as if the character wrote it rather than you or inspired it based on the characteristics you've given?
Well, I mean, it's based around like her, the character's backstory. But I mean, what you said about her having written it, I don't really feel that way. It's hard to say how I do feel about it because I hadn't really thought of that before. But I can definitely see where you're coming from.
Yeah, it just, it's, I guess what I'm asking is if the characters are almost like muses to you sometimes.
A little bit, yeah.
That's what I would think. Any thoughts that you want to offer, Smita or Rose?
Yeah, I think it's beautiful that you can kind of create a character and just make up a character and give them a backstory in a way and give them so many emotions. And I think that's, you know, that's what's beautiful about art in general. And, you know, poetry is one of my favorite pieces of writing in general and forms of writing. And I think it's so difficult for me and difficult to understand, but the way that you executed it was so thought out and you really, you know, brought her to life through that and adding in emotions and adding in what she's going through. And I think that's, you know, that's what makes a good poetry piece.
Thank you.
What I really liked about it is the fact that, like, you kind of got to be in the shoes of the character itself and feeling those emotions raw and real. And it just felt like you were experiencing with the character those feelings, but still understanding their perspective while doing so. So I really, really liked it.
Thank you a lot.
Yeah. Thank you, Layla. And Smita, whose voice you heard just now, is going to share a piece that she wrote. And tell us whatever we need to know before you share it.
I wrote a critical essay titled Money Talks, Literacy Wins, and it just addresses the importance of financial literacy amongst the youth. And I gave kind of my personal take on it and how I experienced navigating money at a young age and talking about how important it is for the students across the boards. So, yeah. Why is it that the youth can effectively utilize ChatGPT and swipe a credit card, yet the World Economic Forum underscores that nearly 50% of U.S. adults lack financial literacy? Today, the harsh reality is that many high school graduates are unable to handle student loans, invest, and manage taxes. The root of these issues does not reside solely in their upbringing. Rather, it stems from the absence of financial education within schools. A 2023 report by Ramsey Solutions revealed that 88% of U.S. adults claimed that high school left them unprepared to handle money in the real world. As a result, many individuals were left to navigate how to pay not only for college, but for rent and groceries as well. Unfortunately, this leads to a cycle of overwhelmed students, which could have been avoided through basic education. It does not end there. The accumulation of high interest debt will persist, causing people to drown in the struggle to pay bills and save money. The growth of this issue is not linear, instead exponential, as it builds through the stages of life. As of 2025, many states require financial literacy as a graduation requirement. However, I propose that it should be more than a class. It should be transformed into an experience-based system that involves interactive tools such as real-world simulations and applications. Students can manage budgets and stocks virtually using the stock market game and next-gen personal finance. This will create a more engaging format of education for a vital part of their future. Although these programs are accessible to students beyond the classroom, my proposal integrates them into the curriculum, ensuring that students utilize their resources. Moreover, students will graduate more informed, shifting to a smaller population of students who feel lost with their money. When I began dog sitting, I was excited about the opportunity to earn money. However, I was unaware of the responsibilities that came with it. My mind instantly thought of all the new clothes, toys, and snacks I could purchase. And as my money disappeared, I experienced an eye-opening moment. I realized that many young individuals are not prepared to manage money, specifically due to their failure to track spending. If I mapped out the elastic and inelastic items in my life, I would have created a balance with spending for wants while continuing to save money as well. This moment in my life sparked my passion to remind young individuals like myself of the value of decision-making regarding money. As I begin my journey in finance, my goal is to expand advocacy for financial education among the youth. Even though we cannot plan for everything to go according to plan, it is our drive to keep moving forward that will allow us to at least clear a path for confidence. Financial literacy is a skill of survival, and by educating students early on managing money can create a generation filled with stability. Money will no longer control the student if we take the step to a future filled with change.
I especially like the way you summed up at the end. Did you mean the pun with change, money, change?
Yeah.
I thought so. Forgive me for asking. Anybody have any comments for the essay you just heard from Samita?
I mean, it's hard to say that, like, I agree because, I mean, to be completely honest with you, I don't even know how to, like, from what angle to approach this topic because you're definitely, like, more educated on it than I am because I'm not educated in it at all, but I definitely agree with the points that you're making, and, like, it is definitely an important cause, and I really like how you tackled it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that the sole reason that you most likely wrote it was to obviously bring awareness to the fact that there is this lack of, you know, awareness of financial stability and literacy, and I think for somebody, you know, like Layla or me that isn't as knowledgeable on the topic, it's important to hear of, you know, those essays and the conversations of, we need to sit down and talk about what we can do with your money, or, you know, we need to sit down and talk about how to write a check. Or, because I know, for example, like you said, in school, I feel like there is a lack of, you know, classes or resources to be able to, you know, you graduate and you feel stuck because you don't know how to write a check, or you don't know how to count currency, or, you know, go about moving and shifting from graduating like we are into the real world of, now I have to pay college tuition, or I have to pay rent, or I have to pay bills, I have to pay my phone bill. So there's so many different payments and so many things in the world that you have to pay money for, obviously, and it's important to know how to manage your money. And I think that school may have, depending on the school, but it may have caused a lack of, you know, communication or a little confusion on how you get started on that.
I like to how you pointed out how, I don't think you said preposterous, but how short-sighted maybe it is to think that all of this can be put into one class that you might take during one semester, when it really is an entire journey throughout all of your school years, if not throughout all of your life. You can't possibly understand, even if you could fit everything into that one class, the ability to relate to it and to find it relevant sometimes doesn't happen until later in life. It's almost like having a mentor, a good honorable broker, you know, of knowledge that could help you throughout your whole life would be a good one. I don't know if that's what you were proposing. I think it was.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Oh, and we had a question. Rick, listening in Highland Park, his question, I'll just say it verbatim. How long does it take to write a critical essay? It probably varies depending on the topic, but any rough idea of the amount of time?
I think it really depends on, like, what you're trying to communicate and how personal it is to you. If it is like a personal experience, like mine kind of had a personal experience in it, that was something that occurred early on in my life. And so I was more reflecting upon it. So I would say that it took me just like a couple days just to kind of revisit what I experienced and also what I've seen throughout my life after that and why I'm passionate about it. And obviously doing your research and why it's important. That's also very important. That's also very important to do. And so I would say it took me like a couple days, but it also really depends on your experience and what's
probably the way you work, too. Any thoughts from you, Rose?
Yeah, I think it depends on, you know, the topic for sure and what pieces of evidence and research that you're trying to grapple with. But I know for me, my college essay took me a good while. There was a lot of trial and error and erasing things, and this didn't seem worded right, or this didn't feel right, or did this execute my emotions correctly? So I think it's a lot of just depending on what the topic is in general. And I agree with you. Yeah.
And Layla, although you didn't write an essay, I don't know if you have any thoughts about writing prose and this kind of writing.
Well, I mean, this one specifically, I don't remember how long it took me to write. I think probably like one day technically for the original draft. And then when I thought of like, hey, I would like to submit this to Scholastic, I sent it to one of my old teachers because he had promised me that he would be willing to look over anything I had wrote. And he gave me some feedback, and I ended up adding another stanza. And I don't know how long that took me. But with other types of writing, I'm guilty of like a lot of procrastinating. And like, even if I am like really invested in it, I procrastinate on things I like to do. You know, that's just a problem for me, but it really does widely depend.
or a technique. Sometimes procrastination can help. Well, thank you, Layla, Samita, Rose. Congratulations. Any of you have anything else you wanted to add as we close?
Yeah,
thank you. Especially thank you for taking time to be here with us this morning. You represent yourselves extremely well, as well as the Scholastic Writing Program.